Today we're continuing on our series on parables. Amen. Open your Bibles to Mark 4, 26 through 29. Mark 4, verses 26 through 29. If you're ready, say amen. It says this: Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts," say sprouts, "grows, but he does not know how it happens. The earth produces the crop on its own. First the blade," say the blade, "pushes through," okay, you don't have to say that, just the blade, "then the head of wheat is formed, and finally the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come." Now, I divided this parable into three parts: sowing, say sowing, waiting, and then reaping. Today, we're talking about waiting part. I want to start with a personal story. And this story happened, it's a real story, when I was about 10 years old. This happened in Ukraine, which is Eastern Europe, and that's where I grew up. You can probably tell by the accent. And but I lived in a projects. That's where we lived. So we had no farm animals or anything like that. We did have a garden at our grandma's house, but I wasn't really liking the farming lifestyle. But once my cousin, who lived about a half a mile away, and that was called middle-class type of a neighborhood, they had their own house, they had their own yard, they had their own animals. And it was normal for people to have pigs, right? In there, you know, when you have your own house, you have a shed and you have like 3-4 pigs and you raise them up, then you kill one and you eat it. You make your own bacon called salo in Russian. Anyway, and so he invited me. Every spring, what would happen is, in the winter time, as they would clean the pig, you know, mess, they would shove it all, and it would have this little drainage, and it would go right into a hole. But that hole was like a septic tank that had no way out. Okay? So every spring, what had to happen was, you had to take the 5-gallon buckets, dip it in. Somebody would have to stand on the ladder as it went down. Okay? Somebody had to go on the ladder into the septic tank, dip it in. I mean, it stinked. Yeah, some of you, you see, for some of you, it's like so foreign. I'm a foreigner, okay? So, but I'm a great American too. and so, you would have to dip it, and you would have to take 2 buckets with you. Otherwise, it would be too hard to carry. I was 10 years old. Obviously, I wasn't carrying full buckets, but I would grab them with my 2 hands, and I would walk about as from here to the parking lot over there, our parking lot, and I would dump it on the field, and you had to spread it. So you take it, you spread it a little bit everywhere, and so we did this from early morning to about 5 o'clock in the evening. I mean, all day. So imagine how I smelled by the end of the, you know, by the end of that time. I mean, my pants were all in that septic stuff. I mean, it was horrible. It was dirty. But one reason I had to work that hard, and you know, 10-year-old boys usually don't like work, you know. They like to sleep or just hang out or just goof around. But the reason I was working so hard, because my cousin, and he had a big fish tank. Okay, he was into these colorful fish, and he would reproduce them. What do you call that? He would breed fish. Yeah, thank you. He would breed fish, and so he had the most colorful fish tanks you could see, and it was beautiful. I mean, it was all made up, and it was like greenery growing in there, and all colors of the fish. You know, it was just perfect. And he said, "Listen, if you can help me out, I will give you some fish." Now, I don't have a fish tank or anything. I have a jar about a gallon jar. That's all I have. So I'm thinking of starting my own. You know, I'm a businessman, so 10 years old, I'm already thinking, okay, if I can get a male and a female, if I can, you know, hook them up and we can have some babies, I can go and sell some to my friends, you know, make some money. You know, some of us just born that way. And so he promised me fish. And when we were almost done, he had to go to choir practice. Choir practice, I think, was around 6 o'clock. So he said, listen, Alex. He called me Sasha. That's what the nickname is, Sasha. He's like, Sasha, I got to go to a choir. And he's very emotional. He's a panicker. You know, have you ever seen panicked people? I got to go, man. I can't give you fish right now. I got to go because I got a choir practice. When I get back, we'll talk. He goes and takes a shower. He goes to the choir practice. And, you know, we are finishing it up. We finished it up. And I'm like, well, I want my fish now. All right. So his sister is in the house. I said, Victor promised me fish. I want my fish. She's like, do you have anything? Yeah, I brought my jar right here. I brought it from home. Fill it up. She's like, I don't know, man. He's really meticulous about this fish tank. I mean, it was about this wide. I mean, it was huge. I mean, it was beautiful. I mean, it had everything you need. It was clean and everything. It was his baby. I'm like, I don't care. I want it now. So I said, she's like, I don't know how to catch fish. I'm like, I'll help you. 10-year-old boy. So I take a scoop, fishing scoop, and I start chasing fish. And you know, it's hard to catch a fish with a little square, you know, scoop in a big tank. So I started chasing it all around. Then I started using hands. I still remember that moment. So I started chasing it around in there. We finally caught some with hands, you know. The weeds that were growing in there, they all came up. So we planted them. I mean, it was just a mess what we've done. I kind of got my fish. I feel good about it. I worked for it, right? I worked really hard. And so I go, some of you are like, oh no. Yeah, I did it. I have some more embarrassing stories too. I'll tell you them. Come next Sunday. And so I got my fish. I took him home. And about 9:30 in the evening, my panicking cousin calls me on the phone. He says, Sashka, I'm going to kill you. And he's crying. And he's a panicker. He's like, by that time, some fish already died in the fish thing, because I guess we took him in hands and I mean, everything was just messed up. He was so mad. He was talking to my mom. I mean, it was, he cursed me. He cussed me out. Whatever it is, he said it to me. And then his dad takes the telephone and says, listen, do you know that fishing tank that we have that we don't use? That fishing tank was going to be yours. We were actually going to bring it to you tonight with fish, with the compressor, the air and stuff. But because what you've done, you've caused so much damage. Because you tried to get it so fast, you need to bring that fish right now to our house. He said, if you just waited a few hours, you could have had that fishing tank. It was beautiful. But because of your impatience, that story has guided me. If you think I'm persistent today, because every time I want to quit or every time I want to get something from God now, that story pops up. Remember what you've done. Remember what you've done. Some of you are getting the lesson already. Note, the Bible says, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who plants. Then he waits. Then he harvests. We live in a culture that's very impatient. We are very impatient. I didn't say you. I said we are very impatient people. We want things now. A boy wants a girl now. A girl wants a boy now. We want money now. We want great positions now. But that's not how the kingdom of God works. The kingdom of God works like a farmer. There is seed time, there is wait time, and there is harvest time. And let me tell you, usually the things you have to wait for longer bring in bigger results. Amen? Now, there is time between sowing and reaping. Now, why does it work like that? Why is it that we have to wait for things? Now, how many of you heard this saying maybe that if you wait for something, you'll respect it more? Things that come easy into our life, we can let go of easy. That's why people who win millions of dollars came in easy in their life. Lose it very easy. Do you know that people who win millions go bankrupt within 3 to 5 years? Easy things that come easy goes. Well, sometimes we look at the story of Jesus and we say, well, look at Jesus. Everything for Jesus is very easy, right? I mean, he would pray and somebody would get healed. How cool is that? He would talk to the water and it becomes wine. Ooh, very good. Very good wine. You know, he would say, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus comes out. And a lot of us, Christian, we misunderstand the waiting period of our lives. Thank you, Father. What did Jesus do for 30 years before he entered the ministry? Now, let's think about it. Jesus already knew that he was special since he was born. If nobody else told him, his mother told him, you're special. When you came, the angel said that you're going to be born and I was virgin. When he was 12 years old, or 13 years old, when he was a teenager, I'm just thinking that Jesus wanted to show off his powers. Because you know he had powers already. When teenage boys want to show off in front of girls, I'm just thinking, did Jesus want to show off? We know that he didn't. Just think about it. It took a lot of self-control and patience. So what happens during the waiting time is God is working on your life. Now, waiting is never in action. Listen to me. A lot of people say, I'm just going to wait on the Lord to do something in my life. I believe God, and I believe that He's going to do it. No, waiting is never in action. Waiting is preparation. What happens between when you put a seed in the ground and harvest time? Grow. Right? Between you putting seed in the ground and between you pulling a potato or a beet or whatever you, or onions, growth happens. Same thing for your life and my life. Between seed times and harvest time, growth has to happen. So when Jesus was not doing miracles from the day he was born to the 30 years old, he was growing. Bible says he was growing in the knowledge of God. He was growing in the love of God and people. Growth has to happen between sowing and reaping. I don't like waiting. I really don't like waiting. A lot of young people, and I was once that, you know, young teenager, I didn't like waiting. I wanted things now. I wanted a girlfriend now. You know what I mean? Now, if I prayed and said, God, I need a girlfriend right now. Please give it to me. And he did. You know what? I'd probably have a baby when I was, you know, 13 years old. Today in the church, I saw a young girl, and she was pregnant. And I was like, aren't you like 13 or 14? She wanted it now. And then I see her boyfriend standing next to her, and she's like 15. And I'm like, you're not able to take care of. See, when we want things now, sometimes those things that we want now can destroy us, can hurt us, can stop what God promised in our life. But let me tell you, between the time of God promising something in your life and you believe in it, to the time where you actually receive the harvest of it, God wants you to grow. That's why God gives seed, not the fruit. Amen? God gives you seed and not the fruit. This waiting part is very dear and near to my heart. Because about 9 years ago, God spoke to me and said that He wanted me to start a New Life church. And you know what He told me? He said that this church will be full of people. And then later He told me, not just one service, but many different services. And you know what I thought? I thought it's going to happen in 1 year. Didn't I? Oh, it's going to happen in 1 year. You know, God, you know, He's going to do fast things in my life. You know, now God moves faster. That's what I used to say. Before He, you know, it took 15 years for David to be a king, for Joseph to be a prince, for 25 years for Abraham to be a father. But for me, it's going to take a year. I just have better faith than they do. You know how we are when we're immature. And so we start running, we start acting, we start copying other preachers. And 1 week I was T.G. Jakes. Next week I was Eddie. Third week I was somebody else, and I was, you know, but I didn't know the condition of my heart. I was trying to be famous. That's a motive. That's a bad motive of the heart. And so God had to get out the desire for fame out of me. First, I didn't even know I wanted to be famous. It was subconscious. But when God showed me, I'm like, Lord, everything I do is to be famous. Whoa, that's not good. I was chasing fame and not Jesus. And fame always took me away from Jesus. Jesus went this way. I went after fame. And I repented of that and said, Lord, I don't want to chase fame anymore. I don't care if anybody knows me. I just want to do your will. Because I've been famous in certain things. You know, God gives you glimpses, you know. You're on the news and then you think you're famous. But then nothing, your heart doesn't enjoy it. You know what I mean? But I thought it's going to do something on the inside. I thought it's going to make me happy. And it doesn't. Fame doesn't make you happy. Oh, I'm so glad that He delivered me from certain things. He delivered me from fakeness, from being fake. See, between the sowing and reaping, there is a process. And God wants to do His work in you. Bible says, blessed is the man who endures trials and temptation and testing. Because after he's been tried, he will receive the crown of life. God has promises for you. But those promises can only happen in waiting. Open to Galatians chapter 4 verse 1 quickly. It says this. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young child, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up. So listen. Listen to this. A father dies and leaves inheritance, but you are a child. You can't have that inheritance, although it's yours. Listen to this. Until they grow up, even though they actually own everything, their father has. They have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father has set. So God actually, between He gave you the seed, prophetic word could be a seed, right? When you receive a prophecy, that's a seed, still a baby, right? So you can't have whatever He promised you that day or the next day. Or otherwise, it will destroy you. It will hurt you. But there is a day when you grow up, it says. So waiting is not wasting time. How many of you know God is against wasting time? The Bible says this, be careful not to waste time because days are evil. He wants you to care for your time. So it doesn't mean you sit and wait. When is God going to do it? No, before before God is going to do it, He wants you to grow. He wants you to mature. So when that thing comes into your life, you don't lose it next year. That's why God wants you to wait. Young ladies, that's why God wants you to wait for that guy. Amen. He wants your inside to be as beautiful as your outside. Just because you're beautiful doesn't mean you're ready. Amen. How do you know you're not ready? How do you treat your mom? At home when nobody sees. How do you treat your dad? Do you curse her out but I'm ready to marry? No, God says, you will get married. Don't worry about it. Why don't you put yourself in a position of waiting for a little bit? And it's not just sitting there. When is my boyfriend going to come and marry me? That prince on the white horse is going to come and marry me. He will come. But if he comes now, he won't be ready. You won't be ready. Amen? And then a year later, you're not together anymore. See, good things, God says, I want you to wait. In war, in armies, waiting is actually a tactic. How many of you know that? Waiting is actually a place where you, when you prepare, you plan. You confuse your enemy. Sometimes your enemy thought you were going to attack, but you waited. They relaxed, then you attacked. See, waiting could be used for many different purposes. Because I didn't wait, I lost my harvest. And a lot of times, because we don't wait, we lose our harvest. You remember Abraham, God promised him a child? And for 20 years, or for 15 years, no child. And so Abraham goes and says, why don't I have this beautiful slave girl. Her name is Hagar. How many of you remember that story? Why don't I just go and just marry her? Maybe God wants to give me a child through Hagar, not Sarah. Remember that? And so he goes in there and she's young and Abraham is old and they have a baby right away. Boom. And Ishmael is born. God says, great, but that's not going to be a child of promise. Kind of harsh of God, isn't it? Says, that's the child of the flesh. That's what you produce. But I'm going to produce something. And through it, Jesus Christ is going to come. And through Him, the salvation of the nations. And so Abraham messed up. Abraham loves this child, Ishmael. And then when he is 99 years old, God comes down in a human form with two angels and says, actually, Jesus Christ. That's the appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. He comes in human form and says, next year you will have a baby. And that will be the child of promise. And Sarah, guess what she does? She laughs. She says, really? Come on, don't kid me. Next year, at 100 years of age, Abraham has a son. And God says, this will be the child of the promise. Whatever you do outside of waiting for God will be flesh, will be out of flesh. Some of you need to walk in into God's timing and put yourself in God's timing. Jesus Christ had to wait for 30 years, perfect Son of God. Why? Sowing. Waiting. Harvest. The 3.5 years were years of harvest. And that's all people see. Some people, all they see when they look at your life, they see harvest. They think, oh, everything is so easy for you. They don't know that when you were a teenager, you gave up things. When you were 18, 19, 20, 21, you didn't compromise your beliefs. When you were in your middle 20s, you didn't quit on God and walked away. And so, yes, harvest time does come. And people like harvest. But they don't see you sowing and you waiting. And waiting is a valley of shadow and death, guys. Because devil comes to you in the waiting time and says, you know what? It's never going to happen. You might as well. Look, your friend went and did it this way. And she's all right. He's okay. You know, this person did it this way and they're okay. Why don't you just give up? Why don't you abort that spiritual seed? What devil wants you to do is pull out those seeds by bringing you doubt, discouragement, by saying it's never going to happen. But God uses waiting to give you a strategy, to develop a strategy. God uses waiting. It's never just wasting time. God uses waiting to be a blessing. God uses waiting like a college. Let's say you want to be a lawyer, but you go to college and you sit there and wait. When am I going to be a lawyer? When the big bucks is going to come? That's a lot of people who are foolish do. When are the big bucks? They're not coming. If you just keep chasing skirt in college, you didn't grow. And listen, if a corn is planted but does not grow, can it produce harvest? It's foolish to wait for harvest when you didn't plant the seed. And listen, you have an opportunity to plant seed every day. How do you know? How do you make sure that the harvest never stops in your life? You never stop planting. So the harvest will never stop. Now some seed, like radish, right? If you plant radish, how long does it take for radish to produce? Not even a month. I'm just guessing, but some things you plant will produce in a month. But how many of you know some trees will not produce till 20 years? So if you planted a tree that will only produce in 20 years and you sit there and do nothing, wasting time. God wants you to plant seeds every day of your life so you can reap pretty much every day of your life. But just know between seed time and harvest time, there is time or a season. King Saul, last one, King Saul was put king of Israel. He didn't wait for it like David. You know, David had to wait 15 years to be a king. King Saul didn't have to wait. One day he was a shepherd with donkeys, and the next day he was a king, anointed king. And God said to King Saul to wait 7 days before he could go to war. And before he could do sacrifices, what they did was they brought sacrifices before they went to war to please God so he would give them victory, right? And Samuel was the only one, he was a priest, he was the only one qualified to bring in the offering, to bring sacrifice. And so Samuel said to King Saul, he says, King Saul, wait for me 7 days. In 7 days I will come, I will make sacrifice, you can go to war and have your victory. Samuel already knew what Saul is going to do. And so Samuel delays a little bit. Saul waits 7 days and he says, I'm tired of waiting. And he says, bring me the sheep. Bring me the knife, build the fire. We're going to kill the sheep, throw them in the fire and go to war. Happy God. He makes sacrifices, just throws them in the fire, the sheep in the fire, burns them. Samuel comes and says, what have you done? One, you're not qualified. Two, you didn't wait. Imagine this, half an hour, if he could have waited, Samuel said, I would have come and established your kingdom forever. Half an hour difference. Says, I would have come and established your kingdom forever. You would have been a king forever and then your children would be kings. But because you didn't wait, God has taken away the kingdom from you and given it to a man better than you. And Samuel starts walking away. Saul falls on his knees and goes and grabs the Samuel skirt or whatever, you know, the robe, and he rips it away. He tears it away, and Samuel looks at him and says, the Lord teared away a kingdom from you, just like you tear a piece of clothes from me. That's it. Waiting is very important, but waiting is not unnecessary. It's not useless. God is actually doing. Do you know that patience is a fruit of the Spirit? God had to work patience in the heart of Jesus for 30 years. He had to be patient. I got the power to heal this, but I won't. I can put my hand in this and it will be healed, but I can't. It's not my time yet. Jesus was very particular about his time. He understood. And a lot of us look at Jesus and think, well, things should happen instantly. No, they didn't. For 30 years, nothing happened. And then, yes, they did happen instantly because he sowed so much that the reaping was just one after another. And in 3.5 years, he accomplished what some of us will never accomplish. Most of us will never accomplish in our lifetime because of patience. So today, you can't change the past. I'm not here to condemn you. And if the devil is condemning you, you need to say you're a liar. You need to get away from me. You cannot change the past. But what you can do is you can sow new seeds. Financially, you can sow the seed of love, kindness, goodness. Amen. You can sow the seeds in whatever you do. We talked about it. You need to listen. I can't repeat it. And just wait. Not sit around, do nothing, but make yourself prepared for the thing that you're believing for. You're believing for ministry and you're sitting doing nothing? You're not preparing? It's like an actor, a person who wants to be an actor waiting for a big role to come. And it doesn't come for 5 years and they're just sitting waiting, I'm waiting for it. And then it comes and they choke. On stage. The opportunity will come. The harvest will come. But will you be ready for it? New Life Church, we need to plant the seeds of evangelism in this city. And we have to wait, be patient for harvest. It will come. We have to sow into people and we will reap the harvest. You heard the word today. What are you going to do? While you're waiting, God is developing a strategy for how He's going to do what He said He's going to do. Angels are standing in their position. Angels are getting ready. God moves the right people into your life. Amen. While you're waiting, something is happening. Bible says, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew in strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. Something will happen during your waiting time. When David was waiting between 17-year-old boy to 30-year-old king, God was training him as a warrior, as a leader. He's going to do the same thing in your life. But don't waste time just sitting there thinking, I don't have to do anything. It's time of preparation and growth. Unless a seed grows into a tree, it cannot produce fruit. And you want fruit. God wants fruit. Amen? Please stand to your feet. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 says this. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Let me read it again. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap the harvest of blessing if we don't give up. God says, don't give up. Don't even think about it. Quitting. Pregnant woman waits 9 months for the baby. She doesn't quit at the end. Don't quit. You said you're going to follow Jesus. Don't quit when it gets hard. When you go through the valley of shadow and death, through the hard circumstances, and you're praying and the devil says, God left you. No, He didn't. Oh, no, He didn't. He's there with you. And you'll go through it. And you'll be a stronger person. Hallelujah. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. God's promises are never... they never fall to the ground. God's promises... God doesn't change His mind. When He says something, He's going to do. You can take that to the bank. When God says something, He's going to do it. He promised to bless you. He promised to protect you. He says, nothing will separate you from My love. And He's not lying. You can separate yourself from His love, but He will never separate Himself from you. Hallelujah. The greatest blessings come after the longest waiting sometimes. Isaac is a great example. Joseph in the prison in the Potiphar's house, a great example. David is a great example. Paul is a great example. Jesus is a great example. If you wait, God will bring blessing into your life. Be patient because He's good and faithful.